Amen. Yeah. A lot of prayer has been rising for young people, children, and the young generation. Whenever I go to prayer meetings, we got many prayer meetings in GIS, you know. Yeah, I just hear this prayer rising up, which means God is on the move. I know what God is doing when I hear the prayers of God's people. That's how I know God's will. How I know which way He's moving. But if we can be intentional about our children. So I was asking Molly, and I'm going to ask Han as well. Yeah. Then can you write down, because Molly is a helper in the children's ministry. Can you write down all the names of the children, the families, and the age group, and so on? So we'll be intentional about how we pray, how we invest into our children, and how we look after our children. And by the grace of God, we'll do this for all God's people, so that we are accountable as church, accountable for the lives of God's people. That's the intention. So if we can just keep the burden of the Lord in our heart for the children's generation that's rising up, amen. I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit again, because we are in the Holy Spirit fifth week, yeah? So Paul has asked me to talk about the Holy Spirit, and I thought I might talk about Holy Spirit as a person, as I have found Him, and as I walk with Him in the hope that by the grace of God, if I can somehow help you in some way, or maybe remind you, because all of us need to be reminded of the truth. Not that we know a lot of things, but we need things underlined many times, don't we? We need things emboldened sometimes, and so that we get reminded of the grace of God that was already given to us, and He's already spoken to us, but we need to somehow have what God is saying to us emphasizing in our life underlined at times. And I hope that by the grace of God, I can deliver something that is in the heart of God today. So how about we pray? Father, what can we say about Your Holy Spirit? Such a mighty third person of the Trinity. One who guides us, one who is with us, one who is inside of us. And never leave us. You said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And You have kept Your word by Your Holy Spirit's coming and abiding with us forever, just as You have promised. So Lord, we pray today. Lord, we know the Holy Spirit is a humble servant, always effacing Himself, always giving glory to the Son, always putting the light of glory upon the face of Jesus Christ. So we will see the Lord in great brightness and always taking the back seat. Such a servant God whom we serve. Lord, we pray today we'll get to know the Holy Spirit, and we'll be more aware of this third person of the Trinity, the mighty God whom You have sent from Your presence to be with us. That we may know You. We may know the depth of the heart of God. We may walk with You. Walk in the richness of Your grace and Your blessing and of Your presence and of Your intimacy. Then we'll know we are never alone. Not just talk about it, but we know that we are never alone. We always have the Holy Spirit. Oh, sent by the Son from the Father to be with us forever. Lord, teach us, Lord, about Your Holy Spirit, that we may know Him, more intimately, more deeply, that Lord, from the depth of our heart, our walk, every step of our walk, Lord, will take newness of life and newness of grace. Oh Lord, we pray in the name of the most holy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I'll read you from John 14, chapter 14, verse 16 to 19, that I've got on my notes. I think we are all very familiar with this passage. His Lord said before he went to the cross, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, excuse me, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I'm going to read this with feeling here because something very personal to me. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. That's how I heard the voice of God one night. I said one morning, yeah. I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll come to you. I heard that voice. And a little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Why? Because he's come to us by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Because I live, you will live also. When I read the Word of God, there are times when I read with great emotion because I feel strongly about it. When I read the Word of God, I see it as an encounter. I see it as an encounter with the living God, and I hear the voice of him who loves me, who loves me and walks close with me. So when I read the Word, I tend to read with feeling. That's how I hear it. I really hear it like that. I think I'll just start with maybe a little experience. I think about 15 years ago. Yeah, I think we were going through another trial. I'm thinking, looking back at my life, I think my life was full of trials, more than good times, more trials. It was one of those times when it was not easy, difficult. And I remember one morning, early dawn, that's when normally the Lord speaks to me. I think it's because my mind is kind of blank. He can just penetrate my mind, and it's not as noisy there. And I remember waking in the early in the morning, and I felt like I was in the wilderness. I was just alone in the wilderness, just so barren, so alone. And that's when I heard the voice of God. They said, I will not leave you as an orphan, but I will come to you. And I knew the Holy Spirit was with me. He had come. And I was not alone. I was not alone. And I actually look back now, and I think that day began a walk with the Lord that I began in a deeper way. I think so, because I remember that day so clearly. And I, looking back now, I feel that Lord wanted me to go on a journey of deeper relationship with His Holy Spirit. I think He wanted me to know His Spirit in a deeper way. And the reason why I talk about it is because I remember last probably two or three weeks, as I was sitting in the prayer room, and last Sunday, you know, as Paul was doing his thing, and the people who are you know, dry and come out and so on, I thought, I'm not dry. I'm reasonably in a good place with the Lord. But I am. Oh, I need the Holy Spirit. I'm hungry. You know when you want the Lord and it becomes almost an ache and pain? And I was kind of getting that. I want to come out. Am I allowed to come out? And I wasn't sure if I was allowed to come out. But I saw other people come out. I thought, oh, yeah, it's my chance. Me come out too. Yeah. You can do business with the Lord anyway. I know that. But there are times when you take a step of faith. It's a way of saying yes. But I mean it. You know, that's a way of saying yes to God. Sometimes you got to do something. Sometimes you got to say something. Yeah. As I was sitting in the prayer room in GI Hop, when Josh was doing his worship, I just felt I just feel this renewed hunger for the Lord, but particularly for the Holy Spirit. And I began to remember. And today, when Chuen was leading worship, I just burst out in tears. Oh no! I hope my eye makeup is not running. You know, so that I hope I don't look like panda or something. But I could not stop weeping because I began to remember. I began to remember how the Holy Spirit speaking into my life over and over again. Especially, you know, especially when you feel like a failure. How many can relate to it, yeah? Especially when you feel that I messed it up. I blew it. Have you ever felt like that? Yeah? I remember how often I wake up at 3 in the morning or 4 or whatever in the morning, and I would hear the voice of the Holy Spirit so clear. You know what? You can't really hear God clearly when you're in distress. Isn't that right? That's a part of the problem. You can't hear God. If I can hear God, it'll be okay, but I can't hear him because I'm so distressed. It's this noise in my brain that is telling me that I missed him. I blew it. I did something wrong. Whatever it may be. I remember Holy Spirit speaking. One morning, I woke up thinking, I blew it. Now I'm thinking, I don't know why. I was only 18. What sins can you commit at 18? But I just, I'll just get some tissue. Yeah, but I just felt, I guess I was going through refining time of, and I remember just crawling out of bed one morning. Dragging myself out of bed because I needed to go before God and kneel before him. Because I didn't know what else to do. And I remember the voice of God coming to me again, so strong, so strong. You know it's the voice of God. You know when he speaks like that, you know it's him. And you didn't miss it. I heard him say that. You didn't miss it. You are in my perfect will. And I saw the picture, the and I saw myself, God taking me out from crowd of children, picking me out, because I was a child that never quite adapted to kids. I was always kind of alone. I don't know why. But anyway, I was like that. I saw the hand of the Lord picking me up, setting me on a path, on a road. And I was on the road. I was on the journey. I was on the path. And even though it didn't look good, I was on the path that God has put me. And I thought, and he was telling me, you didn't miss it. You are in my perfect will. Oh, that, even though life was still difficult, my goodness, that comforter, somebody prayed for me before I preached and said, the comforter. My experience of the Holy Spirit is really what the Bible says. The comforter. I will send you my helper, my comforter. One who will put the courage in. You know, encourager? Encourager is one who will put courage in. Very often, life and sometimes people who mean well will take courage out. You know what I mean? Go, oh, to beat me up some more, thank you. You know? Yeah. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he puts courage in. That's why he's an encourager. Yeah? And when we are like the Holy Spirit, when we know the Holy Spirit better, we put courage into people when we talk to them, when we pray for them, when we invest our lives into them. Why? Because when you know the Holy Spirit, as you walk with the Holy Spirit better and longer and get to know him more, you find out something. Holy Spirit, God who tells us to live by faith, he himself has faith. That's what I find. Faith for you, for me, for his people, for his church. That's what I find. So when I connect with the Holy Spirit, I don't lose faith for people, even the most difficult people. I feel like strangling them, and I wait on the Lord, and I can see, wow, God, you've got purpose for this person. You've got a calling for this person. You will sing with joy over this daughter of yours, this son of yours. And therefore, I can pray with faith, yeah? And I don't know why I'm going on like this, but anyway. I remember last 2 or 3 weeks, as I was sitting in the GI hall, and I was sitting praying here as people are praying. I'll just take a risk and tell you what I felt. I felt that a prayer that I sometimes pray like this. I sometimes pray, Lord, that this person had a particular walk with God, particular grace with God, and I want it. Give it to me too. Sometimes I pray like that because I don't know how else to articulate myself. I want what he has. That's what I'm saying, yeah? And this particular day, last 2 or 3 weeks, for some reasons that I don't understand, though, you know, I think most of us know Catherine Kuhlman. She came to my heart, she came to my mind, and suddenly I began to want and hunger and need the relationship that she had with the Holy Spirit, the relationship she had with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. I began to just say, God, it's more than I want, I need. And that's what I was praying for when I was standing here. God, I need it. You know, when we first encounter the Holy Spirit, we encounter him as the power of God. Most of us do that. Well, he comes with power and fire, and we get the prophetic words, and some of us speak in tongues that we didn't know. And I was like that. I said, God, I had an aim at 15. I'm going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit by 17. That was my goal and aim. So I was praying every day. I got up at 4 in the morning. I sang some hymns that I knew, because I didn't know how to pray. So I would actually look up my parents' hymns, and I would sing the hymn that I think I can pray, because I didn't know how to pray. So I would sing those things for about 30 minutes, and I say, Lord, Holy Spirit, I don't know what it means. And I think Paul shared, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw a closet, you know, a wardrobe, and the door was closed, but I heard a sound coming out of it, and somebody was speaking, praying, and it was my voice. And I was praying fluently in unknown tongue. I thought, whoa, I feel so free. And I woke up, I thought, oh, that was a dream. And then soon after, as I was I think 4:30 in the morning or something, I was on the floor singing a few songs and then praying, Lord, Lord, whatever it is, I want because I'm hungry. And something hit me and I began to speak in tongues and I got so frightened. I bolted up, ran out the door because I was so scared. I thought, what just happened? My tongue just moved on its own. Some sound was coming out. I was so frightened, and I thought my heart was pounding like this. But that was my first, first sign that something happened, and so I began to know the Holy Spirit as the power of God, and that's almost always how people encounter the Holy Spirit in the beginning. Then comes a time, I think God leads us to Holy Spirit is more than power. He's more than anointing. He's more than the might of God. He is a very real person. And we begin to walk with the Holy Spirit and know him as a person, I think we begin to mature in a way that I think biblically, because the Bible says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. There's something about being led by, learning to be led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Because, you know, when we are not mature, what normally happens is we do whatever we like. We want this, we want that, we ask for this, and we do what we want. And what we want, we think, is God's will. But as we mature, I think what happens is that we begin to understand that, you know, when Peter was, the word that was given to him in the gospel was that, Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself, you got up and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you're old, somebody else will come and gird you and lead you and take your place you don't want to go. So I believe it means maturity. When we become mature, we learn to be led. We learn to be led. As we become more mature, we learn to become more submitted, surrendered, followers, being able to be led by the Holy Spirit, by His gentle nudgings even, by even His whispers even. I think that's where the Lord wants to take us. You know, if you know a little bit about Catherine Kuhlman's ministry, about her life, I mean, I read her books. I read her books and just got familiar with her when I was much younger. And she came, I think you all, she had a major, major failure in life. It's like, I'm so glad that God uses people who's got glaring flaws. That means I qualify too, yeah? I can relax. And Catherine Kuhlman had major, major failure in life and major flaws in life if you study her life. Insecurities, you know, petty jealousies that we all suffer from, but try not to say, talk about it. And yet, when she came to end of herself, came to brokenness and came to a dead end in life and came to an end of herself, she said, Lord, if you can take this nothing, then it's yours. It's yours. I give up. I surrender. You can take it all. And it's nothing that I can give you. This is nothing. I'm nothing. And from that point on, she began to encounter not only the power of the Holy Spirit, began to encounter the person of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, God can work with a broken sinner who knows that they have failed than a self-sufficient person who is self-satisfied with their goodness and with their achievement. Congratulations, self-congratulations. That's what disqualifies us, yeah? What qualifies us is that when we know we are bankrupt, when we know that I can have no self-confidence in the flesh, yeah? No confidence, not only in my flesh, I don't have self-confidence in Paul's flesh either. No confidence in your flesh, my flesh, pastor's flesh, elder's flesh, apostle's flesh, doesn't matter. No flesh, no confidence in human capability, no confidence in human resilience or willpower or holiness or whatever. But our confidence is in God who raises the dead. Knowing the Holy Spirit as power, and as you mature, we begin to know Him as a person. I think it's a little bit like this. I think I belabor the point. I think it is important. It's something like this. You know, sometimes when we are less mature, we look at some powerful preacher at the pulpit or powerful worship leader, and we think, whoa! And we just assume, we just think that person is just almost angelic. Maybe almost at the level of archangel or something. Oh, just so anointed, so holy, so... But what I've discovered is when the person comes off the pulpit, yeah? Off the pulpit, and he's not doing this anymore. and you get to know him just like any like me and like you. And he or she has their trials, their insecurity, their pettiness, their what temptations, and they walk with the Lord step by step and learn to love him more deeply day by day. And when you encounter that person off the pulpit, you go, whoa. That's when you go, I know the person. We don't really know the person when the person's doing this at the pulpit, singing like an angel, you know, with microphone. We don't really know them. We can see the power and anointing, but you know the person when they come off the pulpit and they begin to walk to the fridge, yeah? Walking to the pulpit and walking to the fridge must be the same, yeah? Amen. I always run out of time, so I just finish whenever time is up. I remember when Catherine Kuhlman met this person of the Holy Spirit, her life took on a different trajectory, both inside and outside. We all know about the power of God and the healing and all. Most of us know about that. But from all the documentations that I've read, her real source of life was her relationship and walk with God in the person of the Holy Spirit. So I remember reading about this person who accidentally they barged into her prayer room and they overheard her crying out to God, pleading with the Holy Spirit, talking to the Holy Spirit, and they felt like an unholy intruder. They felt, oh my goodness, this room is just so intimate, so between Catherine Kuhlman and her God, the Holy Spirit, that they felt, I'm unholy, I'm intruding, it's holy ground. And they retreated and ran away, something like that. I tell this story because I'm thinking maybe it says something about her walk with the Holy Spirit. And I remember reading that she often said that that she would plead with the people. I don't really understand this because I don't have the depth of relationship with the Holy Spirit that she had. She said she would plead with people, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's all I have. And she could pick up when the Holy Spirit's grieve in pain. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's all I have. And I was praying last few weeks, on and off, that Lord, I want the walk with God like Catherine Kuhlman had. The Holy Spirit who is always with me, one who will never leave me, one who will always look at me and I'll look at him. So, oh Lord, I pray he will answer my prayer. The aim that I was talking to the Lord this morning, the aim that I have as I deliver whatever the word that is in my heart is that, Lord, will you put such a hunger in the spirit of your people that, Lord, we will want to wait on you. We'll want to go to you, wait on you, and seek you. That's my aim. If somehow it'll push us into the space with God, that we'll do this and seek him, seek the Lord, seek the Holy Spirit for himself. This is many, many years ago, when I first got saved, I think I told the story a few times. I hope you can bear with me if you're hearing it again. I think I was 15. You know God speaks to you when you're a child? God speaks to you when you're 5, and some things never leave. I remember something so crystal clear to this day. And I remember when I was first saved, I was so in love with Jesus. And I was so in love with the Holy Spirit, even though I didn't understand him. I was so in love with the Holy Spirit. And I remember saying to God, I packed my bag, was about to walk out the door. And I said to God, Lord, where is the Holy Spirit? I know he's somewhere inside, because that's what I was told by the pastor. And he's somewhere inside, but where are you? Because I was so happy with him that I thought if he's in my tummy, I might just do, something like that. And I remember just so clearly, clear picture just unfolded before me. And I saw Adam being created. And Adam was, God fashioned him, and he was clay on the ground. All shape and form proper, but clay. And I saw God stooping down, and he went, and breathing the breath of life into his nostrils. And I saw, obviously it's the Holy Spirit showing me, otherwise how would I know? I'm just a little kid. And I saw as the breath of life, Holy Spirit was breathing into Adam, just life just went and would just invade every particle of his being. And I saw blood going through, and he became alive, became living. And I heard the Holy Spirit, God asked me the question. So when I breathed my breath of life into Adam, which part of him came alive? And I thought, Lord, he came alive in every single cell of his body. And I heard the Holy Spirit, just answer me. So is my Holy Spirit in you. Just fully in every part of your person. And but Jesus said, kingdom of God is like this. It's like a woman would take flour, and take oil and mix it all together. It becomes a dough. I think it's one picture of flour is flour, oil is oil. But when you mix it, it becomes something, an inseparable union. There's a union that we have with God's Holy Spirit that is inseparable. Can you separate the flour from oil once it's mixed in and become a dough? I don't think so. I don't know, maybe Paul coming from chemistry background, maybe you know a way of doing stuff. But it's, I would say it's inseparable union. You can't tell which is oil, which is flour anymore. So just mixed, so union, it's such a union. And I believe God, that's the kind of union God has given us by the Holy Spirit. And I also remember, I think it's a separate occasion where, when Adam became a living soul, Bible says, he opened his eyes. The moment life entered, he opened his eyes. You know what I imagine? I imagine he looked into the very eyes of the Lord God. I can see that. Yeah? You know how Psalm 17, it says, Psalm 17, one of my favorite verse. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Let me read it again. As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. When Adam opened his eyes, He got awake. He saw the face of God. He awakened in God's likeness. Yeah, because he was made in his image, in his likeness. That's, I believe, a preliminary prophetic picture of where we are going one day. We'll open our eyes and awake. And we will be in the full, glorious likeness of Jesus Christ, whom we have loved, yeah? That day is coming, yeah. But I believe even just the way the Holy Spirit was breathed into Adam when he was just a form of clay, I think shows that we human beings are built and created for intimate union with God by the Holy Spirit. Jesus walked the earth, but he could not come inside of us until he ascended to the Father and received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured the Holy Spirit out to his people. And he comes inside by the Holy Spirit. We are become he who joins with the Lord is one spirit with him. That's what happened. Become so joined with him, so in union with him. I believe one of the supreme reason why human beings are, we're built the way we are, and he, I don't know whether God does it to angels, whether he breathes in his spirit to the, I don't know. As far as I can see in the scripture, uniquely human beings are made as living vessels that'll unite and be in union with God and be one with him. Such a high calling, such a holy calling. And I believe that if we lose our focus on this, if we think life is to be found in something else, it's good to have a good career. Of course, we've got to apply ourselves. It's good to have, you know, you could make money. You know, Wesley said, make as much money as you can. Save as much money as you can. Give as much money as you can. And that's very good. Do that. Don't be so complicated. It's okay to be good at different things and enjoy the blessings of God. But I have found in my personal life, and I think I also see it in the lives of God's people, that when we, from time to time, take our eyes off the person of the Lord and think that life is to be found in something else, whether it's a bank account with the children or marriage or ministry or whatever. Even in my case, because I major as an intercessor, even this wah-wah intercessor, which I gotta do because it's my calling, even that, I find that no. There are times when I spend hours and hours in prayer room. I spend sometimes 10 hours in the prayer room doing this, and I'm so hungry for God. So, Lord, prayer is good. To me, prayer is labor. There are different kinds of prayers. Prayers for intimate. I know, yeah. I remember this man, Larry Randolph. I'm not sure whether you know him. He's one of those people who are prophetic ministers. He was in a major revival. Major revival. Just power of God, signs and wonders, and just the stuff happening that we all dream of. And he actually said, after I don't know how many days of it, or how many months or weeks of it, he said he just dragged himself out of the church, sat under a tree, and he began to weep and weep and weep. And he said, God, I'm so hungry for you. I'm so hungry for you. Even beyond the signs and wonders, and even beyond the power and healing we all need, and it's biblical, and we need to have it. But he wanted, He found that even those things did not satisfy. Even those things don't satisfy. I think we all, one of the, you know how we have one of the GI vision, devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. We put it up there. It's a bridal language. Keep our eyes on the Lord. We are the greatest achievement of our life. That the Lord will receive and will not be wasted, will not be counted in law with straw, or wood, or hay. But it'll be counted as gold, silver, and precious stone that'll last, that'll stand the test of fire, is our intimate relationship, our love relationship with the Lord Jesus himself. I think I gotta finish in 5 minutes. It's one of the things that I say very often, that I tell myself every so often, that what is this all about? What is our life all about? What am I doing? And often say to myself or say to others that really God is after just one thing. He's after his people. I'll walk among my people. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He shall dwell with them. That's how Book of Revelation finishes. He shall dwell with them. How does he do it? How does he do it? We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is looking for family. He's looking for children, sons and daughters. He's looking for family. God the Son, what was God the Son? Who is he looking for? He's looking for his bride. He's looking for his bride. Bride who will walk with him and be in union with him eternally. What is the Holy Spirit looking for? Holy Spirit is looking for his holy living temple, where he can, temple that he can fill and find his resting place. You know, we sing the song, "Rise, O Lord, and to your resting place, the ark of your might." The Holy Spirit is looking for living temple, holy living temple, that can, he can feel and find his home and resting place forever. God the Father is looking for his family. God the Son is looking for his bride. God the Holy Spirit is looking for his living temple. That's how we, God's people, will dwell with him forever. I think I'll maybe jump over to just make just one point about the bride. I think we said a lot about the bride, so maybe I don't have to belabor the point too much, but I might just say this, that I think Paul, or somebody mentioned it, yeah, that when you look at the prophetic typology of Abraham, Abraham had a servant, the servant who looked after everything in his household. He had power, executive power to do anything with Abraham's position. He was so trusted servant. And when Abraham becomes old, he says, "Go find bride for my son, Isaac." And this servant gets up, camels, servants, gold, silver, all kinds of precious, beautiful things. And he goes to the family. He doesn't go to Canaanite women. He goes to the family. He says, "Don't look for the bride for my son anywhere else. Look for him in my family." So he goes to the family with all the camels and long journey. And he finds the bride. And with great zeal and great jealousy, Mama, I will call it zeal. They say, "Oh, stay." Because he's got gold and silver. You know, Laban and all the family go, "Whoa, this man's loaded." Yeah. And he said, "My master Abraham is old. He had a son in his old age. Now he left everything he has to his son, looking for a bride for his son." And Rebecca goes, you know, Rebecca qualifies. Hard worker, you know. Quick on her feet. I think bride of Christ must be hard working. Yeah? And quick on our feet and serving. Serving, yeah? And that's the bride. And Rebecca, "Do you want to go?" If she doesn't want to go, then the servant is released from the obligation. Abraham says, what if the girl doesn't want to go? And Abraham says, then you're released. Yeah, but you will not take my son there. You got to bring my bride, the bride, home. When the Abraham's servant produces gold and silver, precious, all this beautiful, expensive stuff, the family goes, whoa, stay another many, many days, you know? But the servant is, no. My master is waiting. I'll stay tonight. I'm going tomorrow. Let the girl decide, will you go or not? And Rebecca goes, I'll go. I'll go. She hasn't seen Isaac. She doesn't know what he looks like. But something is put in her, then I'll go. And she jumps on the camel next day and goes. The reason why I'm saying this is because I am quite convinced, that just as God, just as Abraham's servant went to look for the bride for Isaac, I believe the Holy Spirit, who is God the servant, He is God the servant. And servanthood is in Godhead. The greatest of all is the servant of all. So if you don't know servanthood, we don't know God. Yeah. God the servant, the Holy Spirit, I believe, has been sent by the Father to find the bride for his son. And the eyes of the Lord are searching the earth for the bride for his son through the Holy Spirit. And once he finds the bride, I believe he will be able to persuade her to come to the bridegroom with him with great jealous zeal. And I believe that's taking place in the hearts of God's people who are hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. And maybe I can take 2 more minutes? Yeah, 2 more minutes, yeah. This morning I woke up I was talking to the Lord and I was just waiting on him. And I just want to submit this to you, and it's between you and the Lord. It's between me and the Lord. And I began to remember Jesus said to the the 120 people, probably 500 apostles, as he ascended, that tarry in the city for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. He said, don't leave. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Well, not many days now, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So we know it's 10 days, yeah. They devoted themselves to prayer. The apostles and the women disciples, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to his three inner circle disciples, Peter, James, John, said, stay here and pray. But he went a few steps ahead and he fell on his face. And he was praying the prayer of his life. Let this cup pass from me if it's possible. But your will be done, not mine. And the disciples were just exhausted. They were emotionally really spent because Jesus said, I'm going. So, what? They're confused. They were so spent, they fell asleep. And Jesus came back to them and said, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? Could you not tarry with me 1 hour? I want to submit to you that I feel that I believe I'm hearing the Lord just personally saying to maybe some of us, I think certainly me, that will you take some whatever time, days or whatever it is that you feel you can do or impressed by the Holy Spirit to do, will you wait on me for a certain length of time? I remember, who was it? I think it was Art Katz. He said, 120 disciples waited on the Holy Spirit, waited on God for 10 days. And he says, I don't know of any church, any fellowship who did 10 days waiting on God. And I thought, that's true. I think the most that I've done with a church or fellowship or ministry was about 3 days. Yeah, probably no more. And I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord, in my experience, I'm thinking this is maybe it shows something about where we are. Yeah. But whatever it may be the case, because Jesus says to the disciples that 1 hour, could you not tarry with me 1 hour? I feel a challenge from the Lord that I think it's at an individual level, individual basis that I want to submit to you, between you and the Lord, and between me and the Lord. Do you feel that tugging, pulling by the Holy Spirit, that you will take certain definitive time and set it apart to wait on the Lord? Just between you and the Lord, and do it. I want to just submit that to you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'll pray and I'll hand the ball to Paul. Is that all right? Yeah. Father, we love you, Lord. We love you. And like Paul said in the morning, that Lord, we want lovers of God, lovers of Jesus Christ, lovers of the Holy Spirit, those who will hunger to be in your presence, those who will long and yearn for you. Oh Lord, church that is in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, church that arise to go with the Lord Jesus when he says, arise, my beautiful one, come away with me. Church that will arise and go with the Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, we understand that there are good things to do, many church things to do that are good and that are necessary, that are needful. And yet, Lord, we know that nothing will satisfy. Oh God. But you and your presence. So Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. Lord. Oh Lord. That we will hear the call of the Holy Spirit. Increasingly so, oh God, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade. Should the Lord tarry, oh Lord, that we'll hear the call of the Holy Spirit to come and sit with the Lord. Our time, give him our attention. Give him our heart. Give him our attention. Give him, oh God, our lives. Lord, I pray our lives will not be so busy and distracted by things that may glitter, but it's not gold. But Lord, we pray you will be so wise that we will know where not to waste our time, what not to chase and pursue. But Lord, we will pursue the Lord. We'll pursue the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, and oh Lord, we'll enter into greater and greater and deeper, oh God, walk with the Lord. Oh Lord, we ask for this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen.
We're gonna sing the final song, and there are some chairs at the front if you want to receive prayer, if you want, you know, assistance. I don't know, are you all baptized in the Holy Spirit? You want the gift of tongue, or you want to just wait on the Lord quietly? That's fine, but I would like to give that row, this first row of chair, if you want some prayer ministry, you can just use that, you can sit there. just soak in the presence of God. After the song, I'll just pray a prayer of blessing, and you can have tea and coffee at the back. But let's do it in an orderly way, not to be disturbing people who want some prayer, you know. So, okay, why don't we sing? That's okay, no pressure. If you're fine, that's all right. But we will actually, prayer leaders will come around you and actually stay with you, pray with you for a little while after we dismiss. So I think that's how we want to just focus on you and pray with you for the refilling of the Spirit and the ministry. So that's your opportunity. We want to make it very personal, very real, okay? All right, okay. For those who have comfort, you know, prayer leaders can just come and just get around now. Just minister, you can sit there. Let's sing one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.